Today on the hot seat, we were starting what will hopefully become a weekly tradition here, and that is hearing from Justice Minister and Solicitor General for the province of Alberta, Mr. Casey Maddoux. Minister, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Kenny. Glad to join you and your audience this morning.
Awesome. So I guess the first question we have for you is that last week you had a chance to introduce some legislation that's going to make some updates to the justice system. And I know that we had talked last week about the importance of recognizing our First Nations Police Force services. As you know, the Lakeshore Service and Drift Pile is just up here as well. First off with that, just talk about how important this is. And some of these, you know, forces, Minister, have been around for two decades. Is this something that those forces wanted?
There is no question, Kenny. This is something that our First Nations communities, the chiefs and council, have been asking for more than two decades. And the fact that they have been protecting their community and keeping their people safe for two decades without a formal acknowledgement and recognition under the Police Act was unacceptable. So I am glad that Bill 38, the Justice Practice Amendment Act, finally gave them that recognition that they have been looking for two decades.
Yeah, and in talking about that as well, one thing that we do understand is that they have maybe the cultural understanding and cultural sensitivity to police up there a little bit more, the more of an understanding of how things are done up there. How beneficial do you think that is when it comes to law enforcement?
Extremely beneficial, you know, Kenny, you know that law enforcement is all about making sure that the people are with you, that there's a community buy-in. After all, it is called community policing. You know, the fact that they are not going to have officers from the First Nations community who better understand their communities, their culture, their tradition, while still enforcing the law and keeping people safe, I think it's a win-win for everyone.
All right. And I know there was one motion, and it was actually passed by one of our local MLAs in UCP caucus. That was Todd Lowen. And that is Motion 505, which calls for the Justice Minister to look at the possibility of allowing people to get involved in policing things for non-criminal matters, such as traffic control or things like that. I believe it was Motion 505 that was introduced by MLA Lowen. Is that something that you're interested in pursuing?
No, I believe you are correct, Kenny. Yes, it is something that is of interest to me, and I have directed my department to look into the possibility of that. And so once I have a clear picture of how we can roll out that, think it through, ensure there are no impediments, why not?
Awesome. Okay, and also, I guess as well, talking about the amendments that's being made to the justice statutes, there are some other aspects in there that I definitely wanted to talk to you about, and one of them is being the opportunity to attend court electronically, and I know that maybe it wasn't mentioned as much, but do you see this as an opportunity to possibly open up the justice system a little more? Because I believe either due to the Riley or the Jordan ruling, you have up to 18 months to hear a case, and do you think that this technology will also maybe make sure that everybody does get justice in that timely matter, and maybe some, you know, bad people don't get off the hook because of a technicality?
I agree. You know, one of the changes that we made was to the Provincial Offences Procedure Act, you know, that will now make it easier for people to be able to attend court electronically, you know, through video conference or telephone call from the comfort of their homes, wherever they may be in our province. That would help, reduce physical court attendance, and that will also help reduce the backlog that we see in our court system. And so there are other amendments that we also made with the Provincial Offences Procedures Act. For example, you know, up until now, you have to get an affidavit. A police officer has to get an affidavit, a sworn affidavit, and for him to be able to serve a ticket that was issued by another police officer, or if that particular ticket was not tendered when it was written. So with this amendment, rather than going to obtain an sworn affidavit, the officer can send in a statement that the court can look at as a sworn statement. One of the other changes that we made, Ken, in that regard, is if someone wants to challenge their traffic conviction, they have to again obtain a sworn affidavit. With this particular change, all that is required is a statement that will be deemed as a sworn affidavit before the court. So all of these things, you know, would help the justice system as well as help our First Nations community who right now are unable to enforce their own bylaws in the court system against something that they have been asking for years. With this amendment to the Provincial Offences Procedures Act, they will not be able to do that.
So in other words, basically what that means is that the officers for the First Nations forces up there will be able to enforce the rules of their land.
Absolutely. They'll be able to write tickets, violation tickets within their reserve and be able to enforce them.
Okay, so that means, in other words, if I'm doing something up there and, for example, maybe driving a little faster than I should be, not that I do, but if I hear a lot of laughter around here. Okay, so that would give, like, say, the Lakeshore Police Service the authority to say, hey, you were going 20 kilometers above the speed limit, here's your ticket.
Exactly, which is what we experience in Peace River, in Fort McMurray, in Edmonton, and Calgary.
Okay, awesome. Now, I do have to ask about this because I saw it on Twitter yesterday. You had a soccer jersey with your name and a number on the back with the number 9. And you know what? Number 9 is probably that number 1 are among the most popular numbers to use in sports. Why number 9? What made that number appeal to you?
Well, as you know, in traditional soccer, number 9 is reserved for the striker. And that was how the number 9 evolved. It's a known number for strikers. And when I played soccer, I was a striker. So that was my number, and that was the wing or the role that I played in the game of soccer.
Now, you know what, this is always one I have to ask, because I know that you'd mentioned that before getting into law full time, you were very passionate about the sport. So let's say if the World Cup comes up in Nigeria, your country calls you and says, Minister, we want you to come and coach our team for this summer's World Cup. We want you to lead us. Would you say thanks but no thanks, or would you respectfully go up to the Premier and say, sir, I maybe would want a month off to pursue this?
You know, Kenny, I love the people of Nigeria. I'm sure they will benefit from my advice, but I think I have important work to do on behalf of our people here in Alberta.
No, fair enough. And also, I guess one thing to kind of said, and it's a little bit of a sad note, but I've noticed it as well on the Facebook page, and that's something that you've brought to the attention, and that certainly I didn't realize the extent of it, and that is police brutality in your home country. And I've seen you've really raised awareness in that, and even to the point where, you know, some people sometimes, God forbid, get set on fire. Do you see this opportunity? I mean, obviously, I know that your priority is for Alberta, but do you see this as an opportunity, given your position, to advocate and say, this is what's happening, this is not right?
I agree, you know, Kenny. As a member of a free society and that live in a Western world, believe in the protection of those who are unable to protect themselves, it was important that I add my voice. Millions of Nigerians who are calling for an end to police brutality and to be given the opportunity to live their life without harassment and extrajudicial killing. As you know, Kenny, I lost my own cousin in 2020 to the same police brutality in Nigeria.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and he was just driving early in the morning, and the police officer wanted less than a dollar. He was scheduled to get married in August of that particular year. I think he was killed by the police officer on April the 11th. He was planning his wedding in August of 2013, and the police officer stopped him, wanted less than a dollar, and because he didn't have a dollar to give to this police officer, he was shot and killed.
Oh, my.
And that is what is going on in Nigeria. That is what people in Nigeria are living under right now. And so it was important. Morally, that I add my voice to the call of ordinary Nigerians to be allowed to live their lives.
Amen to that. Certainly a worthwhile cause, and we'll certainly be chatting you with again next week. Minister Madu, thank you so much for checking in with us this week.
Always a pleasure, my friend. You take care.
All right. This is Casey Madu, the Minister of Justice for the Province of Alberta and Solicitor General, and this is another edition of The Hot Seat.